Martha Cheney Diary, 1853 to 1856, Bilston Creek Farm. The following audio is based verbatim on excerpts from the diary of Martha Cheney, who sailed from London's East India docks in November 1850 and arrived on what was then called Vancouver's Island in May 1851, at only 16 years of age. She was a settler with the Hudson's Bay Company, travelling with her uncle, Thomas Blinkhorn, and his wife Anne, sailing around the Horn in the bark, S.V. Torrey. The diary was found in the farmhouse on Bilston Creek Farm and was presented to the BC Archives in 1941. Only the second volume of the diary was ever found, which covers from 1853 to 1856. The language and grammar are unaltered from the original script. It is the only woman's diary, pre-Gold Rush, that has survived in what became British Columbia.
September 22nd, 1853. Mr. Swanson came in from the fort in a canoe, wanting to go to Souk, but could not get a canoe from the Indians on account of their feast. So he went back to the fort again after dinner in Captain Kirk's boat. Captain Mitchell of the brig William in Pedder Bay had gone to the Sandwich Islands. Captain Grant came in the evening from Souk on horseback, and I had a ride with Uncle around the plain. September 23rd. Captain Grant went away to Captain Cooper's direct after breakfast, a wet morning. I almost distracted with the toothache. September 24th, a wet day. Michael and Archibald Muir called on their way to the fort walking. They went from here in Uncle's canoe to the fort. Three ships in the straits. September 25th. Sunday, Captain Grant came in to breakfast from Mr. Langford's on horseback. Mr. Ford, the engineer of the sawmill, came over in the afternoon. We all went down to the Indian village, it being their feast, and we went to see them. When we got down the old Tyee, that is the chief man, he invited us in the camp to see his friends. So we went in, and then it was, "Oh, Siam, Siam, how do you do?" Siam means the same as Tyee. They were very proud to see us, so they honoured us with a dance and a song. It was quite amusing to see them all with their knives, pistols, swords, and guns in their hands, holding them above their heads, now and then firing a gun or two out of the roof. Then we saw about 9 more canoes come in. Then they shoot, and the canoes come up in a row, the Indians that are in the canoes singing and dancing all the time they are coming. When they get near the beach, one man goes to the edge of the water and makes a speech to the Indians that are in the canoes, saying that his heart is very good towards them, and hopes theirs are towards him, and that he had invited them to come to this feast and share with some blankets that they had to give away. But if their hearts are not good towards them, they were not to come on shore. And a great deal more of what I did not understand, then there is a hooping, drumming, and dancing. After seeing all that, we came home as it was getting dusk. Captain Grant stayed all night. Mr. Ford went home. October 13th. Captain and Mrs. Cooper and I went to a dinner party at Mr. Langford's. 5 o'clock in the evening. October 18th. There was a theatre on board the Man of War Trincomile. Captain and Mrs. Cooper and myself were invited to see the scene, and so of course went. Mr. and Mrs. Langford and family, the Governor and his family, Mr. and Mrs. Skinner, and the gentleman from the fort went on board about 6 o'clock in the evening. November 1st. Mrs. Cooper went home, left Lizzie with us. Uncle went with Mrs. Cooper as far as her house. Stayed there all night, went to the fort the next day being court day, which happens the first Thursday of every month, November 5th. Remember, 5th of November. We had a bonfire and fireworks too close to the house. It illuminated the whole place. November 9th. Captain Grant came in the afternoon from Souk. He brought bad news that the ship Lord Weston had sprung a leak on her way to California and was sinking very fast. He, Captain Grant, was on board of her and says that he and two of the men were pumping her day and night for nearly a week when they got her back to Souk, where he left her sinking. November 25th. Ironing all day. In the evening of the 25th, we felt a shock of an earthquake which shook the whole house, which nearly took us off our feet. It was about 5 o'clock. December 23rd. Theatricals at the fort. 25th. Sunday, Christmas Day, a fine day. 26th. The governor's party. 27th. Uncle gone over to Colwood. Mr. Swanston called on his way to the fort from Souk. He brought us an English letter dated October 1853, January 17th, 1854. Uncle walked to Mr. Langford's, snow on the ground, came back the next day, the same day we heard of the wreck of the ship William. The captain was drowned. January 20th. Uncle tried to get to Mr. Langford's walking. He got to the river walking across the ice and fell in. Had to come back and change his things. Tried to get a canoe. Could not get one. The Indians would not go. It was snowing very fast and very thick. January 21st. Uncle went up to the fort in a canoe, rather rough and very cold. February 19th, Sunday. Uncle came home walking. Mr. Newton and Mr. MacDonald came part of the way with him. Two bullocks dead, Swan and Coy. February 21st. Uncle gone to the fort per canoe and self alone with Indians until the 25th, which was Saturday. March 6th. Anne and I went down to the Indian village with them to get a canoe for them to go as far as Albert Point. Michael Muir called on his way down to the fort. Uncle and I went for a ride on the plane in the afternoon. Three vessels in the straits and a boat. A fine day, rather cool. March 7th. Mr. Lee came here in a canoe, heard that the immigrant ship Kalinda was anchored in Mechosen Bay, little way from here. The report not true. Mr. Weir came in the evening, March 23rd. Heard that Mr. Swanston had an accident going down to Souk. His foot slipped jumping off one log onto another. He fell and hurt his side very much. He fainted and laid some hours before he came to himself. He reached Souk 12 o'clock in the night, March 29th. Snow, hail, rain, and blowing a hurricane at times, all day. Mr. and Mrs. Langford, Mrs. Skinner and her babe, Constant Langford Skinner, came walking from Colwood that miserable day to see us. They were almost frozen. They stayed all night, went back the next day. Fine day, but very wet. We set the goose on 5 eggs. The propeller otter came in yesterday from San Francisco, loaded with goods. March 31st. Michael Muir returned, brought us news that the Kalinda was in Valparaiso. Has been great disturbance on board. January 7th, 1855. Dr. Helmkin came down walking to see Aunt, stayed all night. Mrs. Staines was taken very poorly, obliged to go to bed. The doctor went back in the morning. Aunt much about the same. We heard of a mail steamer being lost by Cape Flattery, about 50 mail bags lost. The Mayor Tompkins that brings the mail to Victoria has gone down to rescue the passengers. Mr. Eller came down with a boat to fetch Mrs. Staines and Horace up to the fort, who are going to England in the Hudson's Bay Company ship Princess Royale. Mrs. Staines leaves here tomorrow morning, July 19th. I was married to Mr. Eller by the Reverend Mr. Cridge. We were married at home by special license. It was a beautiful day, but very warm. We had a large dinner party, had a tent made outdoors. It being too warm in the house for so many. The governor and his family honoured us with their company and beside them were Mr. and Mrs. Langford and family, Captain and Mrs. Cooper, Mr. and Mrs. Barr, the two Miss Reeds, Mrs. Muir and family, Mr. Newton, Mr. Pierce, Mr. McKay, and one or two others. Miss Mary Langford was bridesmaid and Mr. Thomas Cooper bridesman. The British man of war, Brisk, came into the harbour the same day. Mr. Tyne, one of the midshipmen, called here to report to the governor. August. Mr. Eller, Tom Cooper and myself went up to the fort to a party given by the governor to the officers of the Brisk and Dido. We stayed at the fort that night, came home the next day on horseback, very tired. The next day my husband went to Victoria again to join the Otter, but did not go in her and came back. On Monday we all went to the fort. Uncle, Aunt, Mr. Ella, myself all on horseback. Uncle and Aunt came back as far as Mrs. Cooper's the same night. I was staying with a friend of ours, Mrs. Barr, for a few days. We came home on Saturday. My husband and self brought Mrs. Barr and the little girl home with us for a visit, they not being very well. Thought a change would do them good. My husband was taken very ill with dysentery after we got home. We sent for the doctor. He came next morning, bled him and gave him medicine, kept him in bed until the next Thursday, which made him very weak indeed. I was taken very ill myself with the same complaint. Was in bed for 2 days, was very weak. July 9th, 1856. The house full of company, Mr. Langford, Miss Langford, and Mary and Miss Todd came on horseback, also Mr. Skinner, Dr. Johnson, Mr. Yates, and Captain Sangster all returned in the evening. Emma Langford went back with her papa too. Aunt is still laid up with her ankle. I have a great deal to do. 9 cows to milk night and morning, for a treat. August 3rd, Sunday. Mr. Cridge read prayers this morning. We were quite a family circle. We spent a very pleasant day, indeed. In the afternoon, we had a small walk to the mountain at the back of the house. August 17th. Mr. Cridge read prayers in the morning. Monday, they returned to the fort. I went with them. Stayed until Friday. 2 men of war came in last week, the line of battleship Monarch and the Trincomalee. September 16th. Went to the governor's ball at the fort. A very pleasant party. Kept up until 4 o'clock in the morning. We had the admiral's band from the ship. September 18th. Went for a row in the Trincomalee's boat with Mrs. Langford and some of the little Miss L's. Had a very pleasant picnic around the dockyard island. 3 officers with us, Mr. Serville, Mr. Bray and Mr. Richardson. After dinner, we went on board the Trincomalee for short time. After that, we rowed home again. September 19th. I went on board the Monarch to dine with Mrs. Alexander at 5 o'clock. In the evening, went to a small dancing party given by Captain Patey of the Monarch. I returned to the ship with Mrs. Alexander to sleep. Went on shore the next morning after breakfast in the captain's gig. October 13th. Mr. Cridge came down to see Uncle and read to him the 6th chapter of Matthew and concluded with prayer. And I am grieved to say it was the last time that Mr. Cridge saw him, though that visit was blessed to him. I'm happy to say he knew that his strength was failing him. But he did not for a moment think his end was so near. He died that same night at 12 o'clock. He went to bed at his usual time, no worse, and he had a good sleep, and woke up coughing, and with it broke a blood vessel and was suffocated. He never spoke again. I never witnessed a more happy life than his. I trust he has gone to rest, poor uncle. He was buried in Victoria Church by the Reverend Edward Cridge, Vancouver's Island, October 16th, 1856.